It all starts in a Gemara in Chulin. Okay, that's where the sugya starts. And in that Talmudic story, we hear that there was a rabbi, and he was so frum that he used to wait a full day between eating meat and milk. Okay?
Now,
yes. But that's what he used to do. But his son, in the Talmud Chulin, 105a, says that I don't wait the whole day, but I do wait between meal and meal. Okay? And that seems to be the practice of the Jewish people. We wait between meal and meal, between having meat and milk. And the shaila is, why? Why do us Jewish people, why do we do that? What is the idea behind waiting between meat and milk? What? You want to have a cold?
We're in a cold.
Mikey, go baptize yourself and see how that is.
There are some who say that. That is one opinion. But are there any other approaches as to what the rationale would be? Why? What value? Let's even say before we get to the technical halachic reasons. What value might there be of waiting between meat and milk?
Sensitivity towards the Torah.
Towards the Torah? What do you mean by that?
Towards, like, keeping the mitzvot.
What do you mean by that?
It says don't eat meat and milk together, so.
Okay, so you're saying it's like a geder, it's a decree. Once we know that you're not allowed to cook meat and meat together, so, and meat and meat, milk are, you know, very household items, they come up a lot, so we want to go out of our way to go extra and be extra sensitive to the way the Torah is. That's what you're saying. It's called a gzeira. A hard plucka. So we don't come to cook meat and milk together. Good. But I guess, let me go back a step further. What is the problem between cooking meat and milk together?
It's cruel.
So Mikey is suggesting, what many rabbis suggest, that there's a certain cruelty, an ethical problem with cooking a meat and milk together. Some suggest that milk represents life, because the baby suckles from the mother in order to live. Whereas meat represents death. You have to kill this animal. And therefore, to mix together life and death in such an unthinking, like, I'm hungry, just whatever, type of way, I guess we lose that sensitivity of what it is to eat meat. If you ask me, what I think about it is that the rabbis want us to think a little bit, to think twice before we eat meat, right? Yes, the end of the day, from the time of Noah, the Torah gives us permission to eat meat.
It also tells us to eat meat.
And it even says you can eat meat.
It tells us to eat meat. It says you can eat meat.
When does it teach you to eat meat?
Maybe you're talking about carbon case out.
And there are certain scenarios, like korbanot, where you're supposed to eat meat for sure. But at the same time, a person has to have a certain degree of sensitivity and realize, wow, I just ate meat. There should be a difference between eating meat and eating a piece of corn, right? You did have to kill a living being. And so, if you ask me, one of the ideas of waiting hours between meat and milk is that it makes me more aware and conscious of the fact that I just ate meat.
You're also still killing the corn off the plant.
Nachum, you're right. There is a degree of, so to speak, death when you kill that corn. But there's a difference between killing an animal which has feelings, which is...
Corn doesn't have a nervous system.
It doesn't have a nervous system.
Can it fry?
No, it doesn't have a nervous system.
You're right. In the spiritual world, there is an idea that even corn is alive to a certain extent, and we should have sensitivity towards even plants. For example, Rav Kook would cry when he saw, you know, people cutting fruits and unnecessarily, and he had that sensitivity to even plants. I agree with you. But at the same time, as Yoni points out, if we didn't eat plants and we didn't eat meat, then we would all die. Right? So it is a necessary evil, I would say. Whereas eating meat is also, again, permitted according to the Torah. But I think we should have a certain degree of sensitivity, and having
to wait a couple of hours between meat and meal definitely makes the person more aware of the fact that I just ate meat. At least that's my theory as to one of the meta ethics behind this halacha. But now let's get into that, because this is breakfast halacha, not philosophy halacha. So let's get into the nitty-gritty details. L'maisa, the poskim bring two reasons why a person has to wait a couple of hours between meals, between meat and milk. One is that the meat might still be stuck between your teeth, okay? And meat stuck between your teeth, which is actually the way that the Torah describes it, it still is considered meat, and therefore to eat that meat with milk would be problematic. And so it takes a couple of hours until you get rid of that meat in your teeth. And that's why we'll see that some folks can suggest that it's not just good enough to wait. You could brush your teeth, or you could eat something to get that meat out of your teeth. Yeah. Question, Ivan?
Don't they say that with like hard cheese, but nobody waits between milk and meat?
You're correct.
You wait the same amount, but shouldn't they be more aggressive on the fact that?
You're right. Absolutely, and that's why we'll see that. When it comes to hard cheese, like Parmesan and things like that, which have gone through more than 6 months of processing, you are supposed to also wait several hours, just like meat. Okay? So, good question.
Does anyone do that?
Rum Jews who know the halacha do that. You have to know what's considered a hard cheese and what's not. Basically, there is a leniency. Nowadays, a lot of cheese is made in a quicker process,
right?
Less than 6 months. And so there are rabbis who are lenient and will allow you to eat these cheeses that in the olden days may have been considered a hard cheese. But definitely, if you know it's a really like fancy schmancy hard cheese that has taken more than 6 months,
so you should wait,
and you are supposed to wait, we have to see if it's 6 hours, if it's 1 hour, if it's 3 hours, all the different cheeses, but you're supposed to wait the same way you're supposed to wait for meat.
So if you hold three...
Hard cheese. Yeah, whatever your minhag is, as we'll get to that in a moment. Okay? So Angelon is, there might be meat between your teeth, okay? And that would apply even if you waited 10 hours, but you know there's still meat between your teeth, you're supposed to try to do your best to get rid of it. And the second is, you might still have meat breath. The meat feel might still be in your digestion system, in your mouth, and so since you still have the meat energy, I don't know, meat stuff, it takes a couple of, you have to wait in order to get rid of that meat in your system. Let's call that.
Yeah, but waiting 1 hour doesn't have.
So
where
1 hour.
That, where did that
it's still from? Different. It's still 1 hour. It's still different than 5 minutes.
Right, but
even 6 hours, it still could be a degree. The question is,
those two reasons like just won't happen.
The truth is, these are different opinions given by different Rishonim. So not necessarily everyone agrees to both rationales. Okay, the Rambam and Tosos give different reasons as to why it is. I'm just giving you the short version. Those are the two possible things that we're concerned about on a halacha level. Okay? Now, where did it come from? The custom of 1 hour, 6 hours, 3 hours. So, again, we mentioned Mar Ukva would wait between meat and cheese. He specifically talked about cheese and not milk. Tosos, okay? Anak Gemara in Chulin. Again, the source is Chulin 105a, that's where it all starts. So Tosos gives, I guess, a shocking leniency, okay? Not leniency, but a shocking opinion. What Tosos says is all you have to do is wash out your mouth, okay? There's no set time. What you have to do is wait from one meal to another meal, okay? It's not about time, it's about from a meal to another meal, and you bench, you take the food away, and then you can have that cheese even after you ate that milk. Okay, so again, according to Tosafos, I have a meat meal at 9 o'clock. Then at 9:10, I decide I want to have ice cream, I want to have Ben & Jerry's. What do you have to do? Can I eat milk? According to Tosafos, right? Am I allowed to have milk after I just had that meat meal?
And
yes.
Yes,
what do you have to do?
Wash out your mouth and make a different meal.
You gotta make a new meal. All you have to do is make a new meal. It's not about time, it's about the actual su'udah. Because the lashon of the Gemara is that he would wait bein su'udah le su'udah. So the way Tosafot understands that is bepashtus. It's not about the time it would take from meal to meal, but rather it's about It just being a different meal, and therefore, Tosa says, you just have to bench and set the table. Clear? Guys got Tosa's opinion? Everyone good? Okay. The Rashba adds on that you've got to wash your hands and your mouth, because you might still have cheesy stuff on your hands, or there might be meaty stuff, on your hand or on your mouth, and therefore you got to wash your mouth at, or wash your hands. Okay? Wash hands. Okay? So these are, I guess, shockingly lenient opinions. With that said, the Rambam in Hilchot Ma'achalot Asurot, right, rules differently. He says that a person should wait kishesh sha'ot. He doesn't say 6 hours, but he says like 6 hours. Around 6 hours. Where does the Rambam get that from, that it should be like 6 hours? What's the reasoning? Perhaps it's related to digestion, okay, but I think more the pashtus. In the time of the Talmud, we know from many Gemaras, they would have 2 meals a day, okay? Actually, if you ask me, I think that's good. I only need about 2 meals a day, okay? They would wait 6 hours into the day. They would wake up at around Vatikin, right? 6 hours later, they would have 11 o'clock, a brunch. And then later at Shkia, when they were going to bed, right around Shkia time, they would have another meal. Okay, right before it got dark. So if you do the math, it was about 6 hours between meals. And therefore, when the Gemara says you should wait from meal to meal, it means around 6 hours. And so that is where the custom of the Jewish people came, to wait 6 hours between meat and milk, based on this Rambam. Okay? You got it? So we've got a machlokes olam between Tosfos, who says all you have to do is wait between meals, just bench, set the table. Rashba says you have to wash out your hands and mouth. And the Rambam that says it's about a time period. Okay? Cool? Now, just to make things a little bit more complicated, the Bahag, who's a poset, okay?
Who?
The Bahag is a Sefer Mitzvah Sagdoilis, Paskins, like the lenient opinion, okay? In addition, the Maharil, okay, there's another posek, says that Hasidim wait 6 hours. Okay? So what does that imply about regular people? How long do they have to wait? Less than that. Right? A Chassid waits 6 hours. Obviously, regular people have to wait probably Tosos or some more lenient opinion. Okay? So those are other poskim who are involved in this story that your rabbis may not have told you about because they're not as standard. Okay, finally, when I found this, I was like very excited because many, many times people have asked me, what's the makor for 3 hours? I've heard of 6 hours, I've heard of 1 hour. Those are mentioned, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch. But who made up this 3 hour thing? So there is a makor for 3 hours. And that is, it's quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham, it quotes in the name of Rashi, that Rashi says that you wait 3 hours. Okay, so apparently there is a makor for this minhag of waiting 3 hours, and that is Rashi says Rabbeinu Yerucham is another poskim. Okay? Where would that come from, of waiting 3 hours? What's the svara behind 3 hours? Dafka. What do you guys think?
Maybe they have more meals then? Yeah.
Again, right, it seems to be based on the practice of, it's based on the meal svara, but maybe they had 3 meals a day, 4 meals a day, and therefore, between meal and meal, as the Gemara says, could be a shorter period of time. Okay? So those are some of the main opinions. Okay? Clear? Everyone got it so far? Okay. How does the Shulchan Aruch rule? I mean, in terms of kashrus, it's always in Yoredeya. Simen Pei Tes of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? What does the Shulchan Aruch say? In general, the Shulchan Aruch, we know, when there is a bunch of poskim out there, his main people are the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. But his main guy is the Rambam. He really is a Sfaradi going like the Rambam. And we said that how long did the Rambam say you're supposed to wait?
6 hours.
Kishesha Asha, like 6 hours. And so the Shulchan Aruch rules that a person should wait 6 hours. Okay? 6 hours. He doesn't even say kishish hours. He says 6 hours. That was a custom that apparently had developed in his time. And so Sfaradim certainly should wait 6 hours between meals, because that was how the Shulchan Aruch passes based on this Rambam, the Seder. The Ramah, the Ashkenazi pasuk, says something that's shocking for those when you first see this. You're like, what? The Ramah actually says that how long should a person wait? 1 hour. Okay, the custom by him was 1 hour. But the Ramah goes on to say that it's better, a Baal Nefesh would be machmir, because he was very aware that many people waited 6 hours, and he would say it would be better to wait 6 hours. So the Ramah mentions that their custom in his land was 1 hour, but it would be ideal to wait 6 hours like the Shulchan Aruch. So we've got the one, and then six, okay? Later poskim, after the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch, say that with time, Jewish history developed such, so you look at the Shach and the Taz, who are the main commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, and they say nowadays the custom is developed that everyone basically says 6 hours. For some reason, the minhag developed that even in Ashkenazi lands, they were machmir like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Ramah, and they also waited 6 hours. And so, if you ask me, halacha l'maisa, what should most Orthodox Jew, what is the minhag of most Orthodox Jews? 6 hours. 6 hours, I would say, is what has been accepted, certainly by Sfaradim, and even in the Ashkenazi world, by the Shach and the Taz, that's the custom. And as the Shach famously writes, anyone who has a reach of Torah, the smell of Torah, knows that the custom is developed of 6 hours, and that's what we generally should do. With that said, if your minhag is different, if you and your family come from a place where the custom is to do either 3 hours or 1 hour, then certainly there's reason for leniency, because that's your minhag, and that was what the Ramah mentions, that there are many poskim from the Gemara to all the Rishonim who mentioned that svara of waiting less time as long as you brush your teeth and wash your hands. And therefore, if that's your custom, that's completely legitimate, and there's no problem at all doing that. Similarly, once we've seen the whole sugya, we can realize why there's also reason for leniency in other situations. For example, since the Shulchan Aruch is basing himself on the Rambam, says kishe sha'ot, many say that that's the source of the custom of 5.5, it's like 6 hours, 5 and 5, it's into the 6 hour. And if that's your family custom, the truth is in my family, that is my family custom, it's into the 6 hour, then it seems like there's no problem. It's all that minhag. So if it's based on the Rambam anyways, it's kishe sha'ot, then that's your minhag, no problem. Similarly, it's brought down that if a person's not sure exactly, I finished lunch at 1:20, I don't remember exactly, and now it's dinner, and I'm not exactly sure, many posts can say that it's kishe sha'ot. And so, if you don't want to wait the full 6 hours, it's okay. And if you're not sure exactly, if it's really been 6 hours, we're flexible. Okay? Similarly, another reason for leniency. Let's say a person's a chayla, he's sick, and I don't know, he needs that milk. He doesn't want to wait. Or another lenient situation they bring down, a pregnant woman. She has a craving for a milkshake. Okay? And it's only been, she normally waits 6 hours, but she really wants that milkshake. Again, there's reason for leniency, since anyway, this is, we have the kishe sha'ot rule. Right? Or if you weren't sure when you finished your meal. Similarly, we don't go by when you benched, we go by when you actually stopped eating meat. So if I know I finished lunch at 1:20, I can eat my pizza no problem at 7:20, even if I benched at 2 o'clock. Okay? So now that we see the whole sugya, at least the Sefer of Achat of Sabbat, which I'm basing the Shir on, rules in all sorts of, more shady situations, there's reason for leniency. Okay? Another scenario, let's say you're Baal Tshuva, right? If you have a minhag and you're doing like your fathers and your fathers, and you should do whatever your minhag is. But if you don't have a minhag, right? So what do I do? What minhag do I do? So most poskim, the truth is, I've asked this question to a lot of rabbis, Most Poskim would say it would be better to do what most of the Jewish people do. Since most of the Jewish people do 6 hours, you also should take upon yourself 6 hours. But on the other hand, I would say that since there does seem to be a long-standing tradition, certainly if you live in a land like, I don't know, Holland, or where a lot of people around you have a more lenient perspective, I would say there's definitely reason for leniency there too, for a Baal Tshuva to take a more lenient perspective, since it's all based on minhag, and he doesn't have a minhag. But all things being equal, it would be best and ideal, and most people can say it would be ideal for him to do 6 hours, so that's what the minhag that has developed for the Jewish people. Yes?
I don't know if this is just American modern orthodoxy being hard, but like, I feel like a lot of people wait 3 hours.
Right.
You make it seem like that's like more of an obscure opinion, but like...
It's definitely an obscure opinion.
But a lot.
But on the other hand, this is all a chumrah and a chumrah in the first place.
Right.
So I feel like a person has to find balance.
So do you think most of those people change their minhag? Like...
Probably most of those people change their minhag to be the most lenient perspective, but I don't know if you have to start doing investigations. I mean, if that's your father's or your grandfather's minhag, I don't know if it's your obligation as a Jew to start, like, you know, looking after.
Originally, saying, but like you said, that most of the Jewish people keep 6 hours, but like, from what I've like experienced, like I would never say that. I would say that it's pretty equal between 6, 5, and 3.
Okay, so I guess that's because I didn't grow up immersed in the modern Orthodox world. I've been more immersed in the I'm from Brooklyn, more yeshivish world, and also I basically just know what the Sfarim say. That's you know, so I'm aware that many people are lenient, but I'm not as immersed as you guys in modern Orthodox.
What are the Germans?
Germans.
Germans generally wait 3 hours. I know people from Holland generally wait 1 hour, and a lot of people wait into the 6 hours. Again, since it's all based on minhag, you should follow your minhag. But all things being equal, 6 hours would be the ideal.
I mean, because that makes no sense.
What would be the best way to get around this problem in the first place?
Yeah, you
don't eat meat.
Don't eat meat. Become a vegetarian, and then you can What about Shabbos? Then you can have Ben and Jerry's, Chol Yisrael, and no meat. Basically, make this comment, we'll bring the korbanos, but for now, that's our
question. You can have those veggie burgers, they're really good.
They're okay. My wife makes them, they're really good. I had one last night. When they're hot and they have barbecue sauce, it's not that different than a hamburger.
Do you really remember?
That's what you think.
I've had hamburgers. I did live 18 years of my life